While most baseball fans circle around the hot stove league this time of year seeking warmth from trade gossip, Jacob Blickenstaff talks up the physics of another mythical kind of baseball, that played by vampires in the movie Twilight.
You're impossibly fast and strong. You gotta give me some answers.
I'd rather hear your theories.
Vampires are a favorite TV and film monster, ranging from the very serious and scary Nosferatu to the campy and amusing Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Stephenie Meyer's novel Twilight moves the genre into teen romance, and the recent film adaptation had a record-setting opening weekend. Given the popularity of the book and film with young women, discussing physics in the movie may help science teachers connect with their female students. Twilight is the story of Bella Swan, a high school junior who moves from Phoenix, Arizona to Forks, Washington. As Bella settles into her new high school, she meets Edward Cullen, a pale lab partner in biology. Edward is one of a family of five well-dressed foster children who travel as a pack around the high school. Bella falls for Edward and, through some sleuthing, determines that all the Cullens are vampires. Now, every author of vampire literature emphasizes particular weaknesses and strengths of the undead, and there are quite a few to choose from. Meyer's vampires avoid direct sunlight, but appear unaffected by crosses, for example. They are very strong, very fast, and have a heightened sense of smell. I find it interesting to see what the consequences of these abilities would be if actual physics is taken into account. Perhaps the best opportunity to do this in Twilight is when Bella joins the Cullens for that most American of pastimes, a game of baseball. In vampire baseball, you have to wait for a thunderstorm to get out the bat and glove. The Cullens prefer rainy days on the field for two reasons. Protection from the sunlight is the obvious one, but more importantly, vampire batters hit the ball so hard that line drives create sonic booms, and that would attract unwanted attention if not for the covering noise of thunder.
That's gotta be a home run, right? Edward's very fast.
Sonic booms are created when objects go faster than the speed of sound, so I got to thinking about just how much faster vampire line drives are than those hit by humans. A quick internet search turned up a typical top-end speed for a batted baseball of about 125 miles per hour. In more physics-friendly units, that's about 55 meters per second. The speed of sound is roughly 340 meters per second, so vampires are able to hit the ball at least six times faster than a human batter. That's pretty impressive, and it left me with a few questions. First, how far would one of these supersonic line drives go? This is not a trivial question to answer, since wind resistance increases with velocity, but I think we can get a ballpark figure. Second, how long would the ball be in the air? Finally, how much force is put on the ball when struck by the bat? I answer all three questions in the text version of this review, but here in the podcast I'll just deal with the first one. The exact distance of the longest home run ever hit is subject to a great deal of debate in baseball history, but it's probably between 500 and 600 feet, or 150 to 200 meters. To find out how far a vampire might hit the ball, I took advantage of an online baseball home run simulator to do some extrapolation. An initial ball speed of 140 miles per hour and a launch angle of 20 degrees produces a 550-foot home run, closely matching the world record. The simulator doesn't allow initial speeds over 140 miles per hour, but extrapolation from the available speeds to the 700 mile per hour supersonic drive produces a distance of 3,000 feet, or nearly 1 kilometer. That's quite a hit. There are a few other moments in Twilight that physics students might be interested in examining. Edward saves Bella from a sliding van by simply putting up his hand to stop it. How much force does it take to stop a sliding minivan? Later, Edward runs up a tree with Bella on his back, and I was curious how his feet and hands could stick to the trunk of a mossy tree. Students could figure out how much friction it would take for someone to be able to climb a tree in that way. For those of you looking to delve further into the physics of baseball, I have included some links at the end of the text review.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.